Welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast, for the 22nd episode, Darkness on the Edge of Town. I'm one of your co-hosts, Amanda Kunkin.
I am your other host, Michael Cohen.
And we're really excited. So this is the word that you like to use, the penultimate
episode? Yeah, it's the penultimate episode of season one. So it is also our penultimate episode of season one.
Yay.
So, and it was a doozy.
I literally shouted at the television.
Yeah, we both exclaimed things a couple of times.
Oh man, it's so good. The show is so good.
It was really good.
I'm excited, and things are happening, and the characters are awesome, and just
I don't know that at this point I'm as invested in any other TV show as much as I am in Arrow. And I mean, that sounds silly because here we are recording a podcast, but Just to let everybody know, Amanda and I do this podcast because we like to hang out with each other. We have no affinity for the Green Arrow character other than, like, we enjoyed him on Smallville. That was really, like, that was the thing. So we used to watch Smallville, and then Smallville was over, and there were already lots of podcasts about that, so silly to do a podcast about that. But then when Arrow was announced, it was kind of like, oh, that would be a cool show to do a podcast about. So, I did not expect going into this series for it to become one of my favorite shows on TV. I thought that I would enjoy it, and I thought that I would have fun podcasting about it, but it has far exceeded any expectation.
It's such a good show. Yeah. And that's, same with me too. I love the DC universe, and that's the big thing for me coming into it and why I wanted to be invested in the characters. And the story, and I mean, liking obviously the same as Mike, the Green Arrow from Smallville. But I watch a lot of television, but this, I don't know, maybe it's the added bonus of podcasting about it that's made me love it so much. But there's just so much to the show to watch and talk about and analyze, and it's an amazing show. So,
well, I mean, the only other show that I can think of right now that's on that I'm almost as invested in, I would say, is Game of Thrones.
Oh, well, yes.
But Game of Thrones is in its third season, and it's just kind of plodding along this season. I mean, I don't feel like there's been a couple of standout moments on Game of Thrones, but, and I don't want to say anything because we're not a Game of Thrones podcast, and if people are planning on watching that or are waiting until the end of the season to catch up, because I know a lot of people don't watch that as it airs. Right. They'll wait for the Blu-rays, or they'll do other things to get a hold of it once the whole season's over. But I don't know. It's, I think, because going into a third season of a show like that, you know kind of what to expect.
It's on its own. It's its own.
Yeah, like the bar is set really high. Yeah. So you kind of sit there and go, well, you know, that was good, but it wasn't as good as this time that they did that, right? But with Arrow, there was expectation, and I think the bar is set at shows like Smallville and Supernatural, but I think Arrow, especially with an episode like tonight's, just meets and exceeds it in so many places. It is a show that benefits from the last 15 years of genre TV, and it just takes all of the great stuff and it corrects a lot of the mistakes, and it just sort of, it really moves the genre forward, and people who aren't watching it are really missing out on sort of, I think, what is part of the next wave. And you know what, that's probably why Game of Thrones is in sort of the same breath for me as Arrow, because I feel like Game of Thrones does the same thing. Like, it legitimizes genre TV.
Oh yeah, and I hate that we have to say that word, legitimize, when you say that. It's sort of like grace on me, but that's the thing that sucks, is that it is true that because genre television is becoming this big thing that people are invested in. And I talked to all sorts of people, and I kind of hate this because I just really love genre television and science fiction, and so I'll be talking to other people about producing projects I'm doing or something, and everyone's like, oh yeah, science fiction's really good, you should capitalize on that. I'm like, no, but I want to do science fiction television, not because it's a popular thing, but because I genuinely want to do that. And it kind of makes me angry that I'm like, oh, is that why all these things are getting produced, maybe somewhat mediocre stuff, because people are like, ooh, it's a market we can capitalize on. But no, use something like Arrow and really invest in it and make it this great thing. And I think that's the power that they have. So I really hope, and I think that our generation is going to change stuff, and we're really committed to things like genre television. We did a podcast for Four Geeks. Me and Andrew started talking about things that we loved as kids and how all of these things, there's a lot of adult followings for things that are somewhat childlike as well. Yeah. And that I think that our generation is just okay bringing this stuff forward and making it popular and big. And I think that's good. And it'll change some things in the future. It's good.
Totally. Well, one thing with Arrow, though, is that although it comes from a very comic book place, I think it's a very mature show.
Oh, it is. I think.
I think it does a good job of being, like I say, go back to Game of Thrones. Like, it's sort of in that same, I mean, it's obviously not the production quality of Game of Thrones, which is, it's a movie.
Right? That's a movie. That's a bunch of movies.
That's shot in the same way that a film is. But it's also only 13 episodes a season, whereas this is 23. Yeah. So, you know. I'm sure they have a similar budget. It's just how they use that budget.
Oh,
how much
no.
They have
Game of Thrones
it.
Has an intense budget. I'm sure Game of Thrones has a much bigger budget than
you think so?
They shoot all over the world.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a big budget. That just means that it's diverse locations.
Okay, well.
It's not like they shoot all over the world in the way that like a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movie shoots all over the world, where you have four actors that are all huge actors that all have to have their own trailers moving from place to place.
But this is the thing, is that the CW is a network, and HBO is... But how do they phrase that? Is cable or whatever it is?
It's cable, so, but that's why I would say... That's why I would say for a show like Arrow, which is probably one of the because it's the first season, they probably got the most money this year of anybody.
Right.
Right? Probably like them and then Beauty and the Beast. Because in your first season, you get a lot of budget. And then as it goes, the budget kind of gets dispersed and goes down and ends up going into Tom Welling's executive producer credit. So you have to make compromises and stuff. But because of the nature of Game of Thrones being on a network like HBO... Mm-hmm. As much as Game of Thrones is hugely successful, you can see it in season 3. That their budget is getting smaller and smaller with every season. And I don't think that they have a huge budget. I think that they make it work. Hmm. I think that they do a really good job for what they do. They're really smart about things in the same way they like. This is the thing, is that Game of Thrones is kind of awesome because they shoot a fantasy show in the same way that you would approach shooting a show like Arrow.
Right. I
mean, they use a lot of existing locations, not like they do have sets, but it's certainly not everything is a set. A lot of the exterior stuff, they just find really great locations, right? So I could see a series being twice as many episodes almost, and having a similar budget. Is not, I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, Arrow
probably
doesn't.
Let's talk about things we don't know,
point.
But I fully dispute. I think that Game of Thrones has an intense budget that I think that that's just my, I just, and I'm sort of Googling here. There's people that are talking about it.
I think that Arrow has a pretty high budget for this first season as well. I mean, you look at a lot of the stuff that
it has a high budget, but it also has a CW budget. It doesn't have an HBO budget. I don't know. Whatever, they both pay a lot of money, and that's really awesome that genre TV gets paid, that is getting like an influx of cash, which is awesome, to produce cool things. Yay! So anyways, moral of this story is Arrow's awesome, and we're really excited by this episode, and I'm really excited to talk about it. But first of all, we have email, right?
Yeah, so our email's from Ramona, who managed to get this in. We're recording really quick.
Yeah.
let's pull back the curtain. A little bit, it's about 5 to 8.
Yeah, so
on the Wednesday following the episode, so we're on the ball this week.
Yeah, it's good. Look, it's still bright outside.
Yeah,
summer. It's great.
So this is from Ramona, and her subject is "So wait until after the episode airs," which is good advice. She says this has got to be one of the best episodes to date, and thought that about last week's episode. First of all, despite the whole "I'm probably going to end up evil" Tommy, I'm liking him more. He's not so soft anymore. I really feel bad for him with the whole Laurel. She really needs to invest in better curtains, especially for windows that face the main streets. I wasn't expecting Ollie and Laurel to move so quickly. I don't think anybody was expecting him to move that quickly.
Yeah,
that was fast.
Yes.
But an acknowledgement of the return feelings and perhaps woohooing early next season. I think that's the woohoo, that's a reference to The Sims, I believe.
I thought it was a reference to Felicity going woohoo.
No, in Sims, when you... when you're with someone, it's a that's what they call it.
Right on.
Because they can't say what it is in Sims, because they have... I'm pretty sure that's rated E, even though it does have woohooing in it. I nearly fell over when Felicity was dragged off screaming, "Hey, he's my man, I love him." I could seriously not imagine this show without her. I just wish she wasn't so quickly found out by the SCPD. I can't wait for the next episode. I wish it wasn't the season finale. I don't know what I'm going to watch in the season. I think she means in between seasons.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is. It's going to be. A lot of shows are coming to their season finales this next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's depressing.
I didn't even realize Parks and Rec. The season finale was last week. They did two episodes in a row.
We
watched them like, oh, those were good episodes of Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And then I read a thing online on IGN today, and it was like, what was great about season 5 of Parks and Rec? And I was like, shouldn't they wait until the season finale airs before they do their sort of retrospective? And then I started reading, and I was like, oh, that was the season finale.
It's so sad. That happened to me, too. I was watching, I apologize for what I'm about to admit, but I was watching Whitney. I watched an episode. I was like, oh, I'm so excited to see where they're going to go with this. And then I was really upset that it was the end, because I was looking
for it. I'm going to give you some good news.
Okay.
It hasn't been picked up yet.
I know it hasn't.
But it also hasn't been
canceled. I know. So. I keep watching, but... New Girl and Mindy Project got picked up, so I won't.
Oh, yeah.
Those are my other...
Well, Mindy Project getting picked up is not what I would consider good news, but New Girl for sure.
Yes.
So I don't know. I'm sure one of the topics that we will bring up next week or in the coming weeks will be shows to check out in the hiatus. Good. But there's lots of stuff.
Game of Thrones.
If you're not watching New Girl, then, get caught up on these things.
Yeah, right? They're fun. We'll have a list of... Amanda and Mike's list of recommendations for summer shows. Also, I'm really excited. Someone on the Facebook group said that they're going to do a watch through of Smallville during the break, which is kind of cool. I think I could go back and watch a couple episodes of that. So, that'd be good. Some old genres TV to catch up on, too. Yeah, if people haven't been watching... all of the other stuff.
Well, I know there's, because it's on the CW, I'm sure that there's a lot of younger listeners that some of this stuff might predate them a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But, going on, we've talked about Buffy a lot. We've talked about Angel a lot. We've certainly talked about the OC on occasion.
Oh, yeah.
And go back. I mean, especially the OC, because in season 3 and 4, Thea is in
there. That is true.
So...
Watch Veronica Mars, man.
Yeah, totally watch Veronica Mars.
Because the movie, and then it's exciting. Veronica Mars is great. I totally want to rewatch Veronica Mars. That's one of my summer things. I'll do. Oh man, I'm getting so upset. We're not even done. Let's live in the moment. We still have one more episode left, and we have a really awesome episode this week, and tons of speculation and things that we get to talk about, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
That we noticed as we were watching it. I'm going to say I won. I was on the ball this episode. Mike started thinking that he was winning the episode, but I won the episode by calling more things, which was good. We've never played that game before, but it was kind of fun.
I called something last week that was revealed in this episode, which is that they would take out... I can't Jesus think. Case. No, the section of the city.
Oh, I have no idea. The Glades?
The Glades, yeah. Yes. With an earthquake.
Yes.
Because he said natural disaster, I was like, well, it's going to be an earthquake. So I called that.
Yes, it did.
But then Amanda was very quick on a lot of these things this week. So I'm hitting play right now. We're going to jump right into this episode.
Yay.
Oh,
do you have the...
Arrow logo. Sorry?
Do you have the... Oh, yeah.
The closed captions are on.
The closed captions are on. I don't know
There's a killer scoff coming about halfway through this episode, so it's really important that we have the closed captions on. If you're watching for the second time, we highly suggest putting the closed captions on.
Yeah.
Because it sort of adds something.
Because it tells you when people are scoffing, which is great.
Or how computers are humming. It's very descriptive on the sound effects.
By the way, the island, it was worth not having it last week for what we got this week.
Yeah.
And, oh. And all these new things that they're setting up, that's exciting. We have a new baddie, which is going to be interesting. It also leaves room for, obviously, at the end of this, like, there's certain people have to die in the season finale because they can't just go on existing with the knowledge that they have. So,
well, die for now.
Well, yeah, okay, die for now. It's but there's books. Just no way that they can. I love the welcome to Starling City in front of that skyline of Vancouver is clearly that's our big roundabout thing. I kind of like this, that they let these characters have a moment. It was sort of like a these random lab attendants that are going to die soon. It's kind of like a well-written sort of way to invest in these people that get shot, because he could easily have just wiped out everybody.
Yeah.
The way that the show is written is so brilliant, right? Yeah. It could have just been him
this
killing
actually,
all these
this moment actually really reminded me of like a Buffy or Angel episode where we sort of got the teaser at the beginning that sets up the episode, sets up what's going on, where you kind of have some humorous dialogue and then a horrible, horrible thing happens to someone.
So good. He's so bad. This is I love his outfit too.
The Dark Archer outfit.
Yeah. What were you saying? This is 33.2.
Yeah, 33.2. This is Malcolm's version of 33.1.
Except with less genetic experiments and more chemical experiments.
Metropolis being the only thing that hasn't been, well, not the only thing, but like the only major places that hasn't been mentioned. Because I think, did we get a Gotham mention? Maybe just Bloodhaven.
Maybe?
So I feel like maybe Gotham and Metropolis are the ones that they
are avoiding, yeah.
But
which is...
More and more rumors circulating that that Batman is going to make an appearance in Man of Steel. So
really?
I'm really hoping that what that is that... I mean, just to go completely 180 on what I said in previous episodes, I don't think that this is what's going to happen, but what I really hope happens is that Oliver is the one that shows up.
Oh, yeah.
And they connect it to the show.
That would be awesome.
The next season, they just reference that Superman's flying around.
That's awesome.
What have you been doing for the last 3 months? I don't know, but have you seen the news reports about that guy in tights flying around Metropolis?
That would be epic. Man,
it would be so great if we go into next season. But we've gotten lots of references, and there's more in this one, this episode. And it's great because I feel like what they're doing is they're really working hard to establish. We're talking over all this because this is just catching you up on last week.
Yeah.
If you missed
it. And by the way, Felicity, though, so cute, this moment where she's like, my brain thinks the worst ways to say things. That was great. She's gold. Yes. Oh, gold, Felicity, gold.
But it feels to me like they're trying to set up this show as existing within the larger DC universe.
Yeah.
So that should they decide to bring someone else in from somewhere, that they can, right?
Yeah.
So that it's already a shared world. I mean, the reference in this episode, I'll point it out when we get there, but it's also, it's Ferris Air, which is a Green Lantern reference. And, you know, as we all know, Q-level canon, it was Hal Jordan flying that airplane
last week,
so.
That's what we like to... Yeah, that's... See? The world's there.
It's like they listened and then they just threw in that dialogue, just really at the last second.
Yeah.
Just for us. Sorry, go ahead.
So I was going to come back to the episode here with Laurel and Ollie. They just do a full sort of different direction than I thought they were going to in this episode, where you start off. It was very, what were you saying? It was very OC-esque, this episode, with people sort of fighting one another and then
relationship stuff.
Lots of relationship stuff. And things that are happening. I've said this before, and we always say this, but the show makes choices and follows through with them. They don't sort of waffle on these things for four episodes, and you're like, should they, won't they? And it's very clear-cut and sort of realistic in that way, and I really, really appreciate that. So the fact that they did move kind of fast near the end of this episode is still, at least something happened, right? That they actually...
But it also, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why we had last week's flashback, was to show that Oliver and Laurel were serious.
Yeah.
Very serious. Like, they were... Laurel felt like it was time for them to move in together, right?
Right.
So their relationship was quite a ways along. It was not puppy love in high school, like I think initially we were led to believe, right? There's a reason why he keeps looking at that picture while he's on the island.
Right, And you do get the fact that she loved him even though he was who he was, which I think was the one thing that was kind of unclear. Inhales and exhales. I love instead of breathing.
Or just a sigh. Yeah. That's kind of what it was.
Anyways, but which was kind of cool. So that was a very useful flashback. I kind of like Thea and Walter's relationship.
It feels very authentic, genuine.
Which is good. Poor Thea. She actually doesn't have a very good time this episode. And I actually
she doesn't
cared.
Have a very good time this season.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Well, we'll maybe point it out when we get there, but you mentioned about the colors that Felicity wears later on. Sort of being important, and maybe, you know, poor Thea not being as important as we thought she might be. Yellow pants. Yay, Thea's yellow pants came back. That's good. I wonder if people, did people watch along with the creators on Twitter? They're doing a whole bunch of stuff with Twitter. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, because I didn't really, like, that just kind of popped up while we were watching, but since we weren't watching live, it kind of...
Didn't help.
It doesn't really help us, but I wonder how that works nowadays with watching live, people everywhere watching on their PVRs and everything, but...
So I love that everything's coming together in this episode. That's the big thing that's kind of cool, is they didn't leave it for the very end. This season finale, they've had it all set up so that Ollie's not in the dark at the end of this episode. He's all the stuff with Unidek is coming to a head, and he's figuring out the extent of his mother's involvement. And now we're back on the island. That looks, it's just so British Columbia.
You know what, though? I've been playing through Tomb Raider, the latest Tomb Raider game, the last couple weeks, and it takes place on an island south of Japan. Mm-hmm. And it looks an awful lot like this.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's the same kind of climate and everything as what we see in this, as Vancouver, essentially.
Yeah.
So.
The guy that was in the cave that's here on the headset that he didn't save, right? It was just a test for him, or what was that?
Is that who that was?
Yeah, well, they did a flash. And he got really angry at the guy.
Okay, I missed that. Even on the second watch, completely missed that.
Yeah, no, where I was like, what was the point? So they were just setting him up and it was just a mind game.
I guess that Oliver was right not to trust him.
Yeah, so that's, you know. So here he's redirecting the airplane.
There you go, Ferris 637. So Ferris Air is a, like, their airplane manufacturers, and Hal Jordan works for them as a test pilot.
Yeah.
So that's like part of that character's origin story. So getting a Ferris Air mention is a pretty big thing, because actually Green Arrow and Green Lantern are what is considered BFFs.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to throw out there, I think that we are right with it being, he's like, I have a friend, and then he gets dropped out of an airplane, and then the next episode, we see that he's dealing with a plane and Ferris Air. Right? That can't be a coincidence.
I would love for that to come full circle, and for the next time he needs a plane in, like, season 3 or something like that, for him to be like, it's okay, I'll just call my buddy, and it ends up being Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
And you know what? They could do it by making it Hal Jordan before he gets the ring.
Yeah.
And so you could just have, like, he's just a test pilot.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Anyways, we're talking over Detective Lance walking around in public screaming out the details of a very sensitive case. Yeah. But he said, we can't let anybody know anything about this. And then it ends up on a website later. Well, no wonder.
Yeah.
There are just random scientists being interviewed left and right of you.
I love that he borrowed this car illegally. I think that's a great line here. But Roy, I have a hard time listening to him. He's just, his face is just way too pretty. It's upsetting. Anyways, this stakeout here, trying to find out, you get more of Roy's character in this episode, which is cool. And reasons for why he is doing what he's doing.
A really big
setup,
it feels like.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will pay off sooner rather than later. I mean, they only have one episode left to pay it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be setting stuff up for next season too, right? Yeah. That will have a real reason. And maybe setting up, I mean, it has the potential for, if this season doesn't end on a cliffhanger and it sets up stuff that's going into season 2, to maybe not be in a cliffhanger, maybe saying how Roy would be involved there. So this is kind of cool. We didn't know how Ollie was going to talk to his mom. So he says that, I'm going to talk to my mom, or figure out what her involvement is, and we didn't know how that was going to happen. He just said he was going to have a conversation. So I love this sort of red herring here where we think that he's having a conversation with his mom about it. But then they are going to get attacked. Which, again, we all thought, again, was Dark Archer. Or I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, first of all, we were watching it, and Amanda and I were totally taken aback by, like, in a moment when darts come flying through the window.
Yeah.
Close your windows, just as a heads up. And then, yeah, I mean, going into the commercial break, I think we were both like, oh, man, Merlin's got them.
Yeah.
Right? And then...
Oh, it said glass breaks. Maybe they did have their windows closed. And it came, see? It helps to have the closed caption on. So, yeah, you really see... You think... Well, I think, at least, that it's... I mean, it looks like it's the Dark
Archer. They made it look like it was the Dark Archer, yeah, I think. Yeah. Like, the fact that it was all in black and that we didn't get the green and all that.
Yeah.
I think that the intent was to fool us into thinking that Merlin had shown up.
It worked. Good job.
Yes.
I thought that Merlin had showed up. But kind of going, well, how are they going to come back from that? Yeah. So this is the part that was shown on a lot of different... I don't know, the photo was of the Green Arrow standing over top of Moira. So you kind of go here, oh, wait, but he's in there with her. What's happening? And then, you know, Diggle shows up. What?
Yeah.
It's good. So we've been waiting. Is this the second time that he's put on the costume to pretend to be him?
Yeah.
It's so handy to have a friend that can just dress up like you and, you know,
help Alfred things. Did it for Batman a couple of times.
Oh, okay. Nice. So... Here, I actually missed this the first time we were going around, but the plan is to make China unstable, destabilize China's economy.
Yeah.
And so we don't know why this is happening yet, right? So, interesting. And that...
Well, this is probably the biggest question mark coming out of this episode. Because I think, obviously it's been speculation, but we've been working under the assumption that this is somehow connected to... Merlin and the Undertaking, that all of this stuff that happened on the island, the reason why, you know, they knew to send Yao Fei to get Oliver and all this stuff is that it was all connected. And there were comments that Fires made about his client
having
an interest in Oliver and in keeping him.
Yeah. And I love that you just totally shot both Slade and Shadow, right? So that's No holds barred in this. But, and then we have this setup, which is obviously going to set up something for season two, right? So we have these baddies that we don't know really who they are and might not have a lot of time to deal with them.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to have the island next week. Because that's a pretty good place to leave the island, I think, for the season finale. But, anyways.
No, because we still have to resolve the fact that Oliver, Shido, and Slade are all captured right now.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
I mean, they definitely set stuff up for next week, but they still need to sort it out.
Yeah. And again, they have here, they're talking very loud about something that they probably shouldn't be talking
about. Just keep your voices down, guys. Yeah. Sensitive information. It's the eavesdrops.
She happens to be in places a lot to find out information.
Well, she was there on purpose time, though.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Man, these Microsoft Surface commercials.
For a hoodlum thief, that sure is a nice tablet.
Yeah.
of all of the times they've had the Surface
show up, that was
probably the worst. Like, they didn't really think that went through.
Yeah. Anyways. So her explaining, I thought that what was going to happen, or this is my speculation, is that Roy's going to connect the dots. I don't think Thea will, but I think that Roy, near the end...
I think he's going to connect the dots by the end of the next episode.
Yeah, I think that he will figure out who the Green Arrow is.
We haven't seen how Oliver gets out of the situation that he's in, and I'm thinking that Roy helpful. Might have something to do with it.
Yeah. I wonder if Diggle really likes this, beating up Ollie.
Especially after the last couple weeks. And
they
haven't exactly been getting along perfectly.
Yeah. So Moira having genuine feelings here. We've always sort of wondered if she was a really, really good actress.
Yeah.
Or if she I don't know. But here you see that she seems to genuinely be caring, or telling, right, cares about her son and is telling him these things. But I'm gonna, it would make sense if she was the person with the legs.
If she was the legs?
Yeah.
We'll just call her the legs from, until we find out who she is.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I'm thinking is that...
And that she's actually this huge mastermind that, like, is throwing Merlin under the bus when really it's her. And so... Because I just don't trust her. I don't know why. And even in this, it seems to be this sort of genuine thing that she's being all sad about.
But that would be the evil genius of it all.
It is, exactly. It would just be perfect if she was the bad guy.
Yeah.
But, anyways, so this is great. I love that it's not very suspicious that he's not really using his arrows. I wonder if, would a green arrow just, like, tie somebody up? I feel like he would, I don't know, to torture someone, he just poke a bunch of arrows into them. I thought he was gonna make her unconscious. Again, they don't do that. They sort of, like, let her go.
Yeah.
It's not the, like, knock them over the head and then transport them and I liked Moira's clothes in this episode too. So this is cool, and then you get Ollie really being able to hate his mom, which is kind of nice. So it's all being brought to the surface. Moira didn't have a good episode this episode either. No. Everybody's leaving her. Poor Moira and poor Thea.
Not a good day for the queen ladies.
No. But a good day for Oliver.
Well, I don't know if I label it a good day. I mean, he definitely has some victories.
He's finding things. He's finding
But I think in the overall scheme of things, well, it's not going very well for him. It's true.
He really nursed that limp there a little bit, probably more than he needed to, hey?
Yeah, it was a little put on, I think.
That's good. Oh, man, all these summer movies. May, I always forget that May is sort of the start of summer movies that are coming out, and I'm so excited. I've already got in my calendar for the Into Darkness midnight showing and the Superman midnight showing. I'm gonna go. I'm excited. Yay! Movies. I love this little lair that they're all just here all the time. It's so good.
Felicity joining in on the colored pants.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, she's got red pants on.
Oh, nice.
But that's okay, because that's kind of her color.
Yeah. Yes.
Pink and red. Those are kind of her colors.
She always wears funky sweaters, too. It's kind of cool. She's got a little bit of a quirky style. It's nice. Like, not too ostentatious or out there. But
she likes the dangly earrings.
Yeah, it's good. They've really found her as a great character. I really think that her and Detective Lance are going to get along really well. I just think that that is going to be something that will help. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to... They'll either really get along or really not get along.
I think you're being hopeful. I think they're going to have very limited contact.
Really?
Yeah.
But I think that she could... I think that he's going to use her and she's going to use him. Like, I think they're both very smart and they both know... Because he's going to find out that... Because if the Detective Lance knows that Oliver is the Green Arrow and he knows that Felicity's working for Queen Industries for something, then he's going to know that she knows and she's going to know that he knows, but they're never going to tell each other that they know and they're just going to sort of... I just think that that could happen. It would be kind of cool.
We'll see.
Anyway, so here we're...
She's trying to break into the... To the Merlin Industries.
Global mainframe.
There you go.
I love it when they say it. And then hacking. She doesn't like... Oh, look at that transition. That was great.
I pointed that out when we were watching the episode.
I don't know. They do a good job. I don't know why he didn't shoot Ollie. Is it just because Ollie can't get a bullet yet? Because he only has so many scars?
It's possible that you're on the right track and that he can't kill Oliver because he's working for Oliver's mom.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then that would make a lot of sense as to why others get shot and Oliver just gets kicked.
Yeah. Man, that does make a lot of sense. Man, oh man. Cool. Ollie's got this little... So here we go. We're going to see... We've never met this guy before. And we've got the woman with the legs.
And
with
red shoes.
A document open on the computer.
Red shoes.
I know. Who is it and where are they?
It could be...
They're talking in English, though.
So, it could be anyone.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Now, did legs say anything?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
So it was just a...
It was just... Yeah.
See, I feel like the red shoes and where we're wearing the red shirt. Like, I feel like we're supposed to be making a connection. Because
it cut right to her.
Yeah.
I just think
But at the same time, totally how many times have they led us in one direction and only turn us around?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So.
Oh, but it's good.
They're just tricking us and making us think something. I like that characters are very color-coded on this show. I like that Walter oftentimes wears purple.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of... Like, everybody's kind of got their...
thing.
Yeah.
They do a really good job of costuming on the show, actually. The whole look of the show is really cohesive. I really like it. So you have this power play. I'm a little bit unclear here. It seems as though Moira has more power than Merlin does, or slowly is getting more. Like, maybe not in a real way or in the show, but she seems less afraid of him, which is...
Well, I think at this point she's been pushed so far that she's not really got a lot left to lose. Like,
Oh, and then here you go. So they need someone from Merlin Group, and obviously it is Tommy, which is good. That was a nice shot all the way around to reveal on Tommy. Poor Tommy. Tommy doesn't have a good episode this episode either. Oh.
It is the season finale. It's going to be nothing but bad things happening to everybody.
Yeah. So this is one of my favorite scenes with Detective Lance, when his scene with Laurel. It's probably one of my favorites of him for the whole season, actually. Really like, oh man, we've got to do like a top 10 list of what our favorite scenes were. We'll have to go through and do that.
Okay, you do that. Because you're going to have to rewatch the whole series.
That's fine. Fair enough.
There's a really good moment here because Laurel shows up for lunch with her dad and Tommy's there.
Yeah.
And he kind of gave a little bit of a glance to her, like, I'm talking to your boyfriend, and then he's about to find out.
Yeah. Aw, and so he feels bad that, he gets to be a dad, which is kind of cute. I just love them together.
And he says, and then,
yes! Come on! There's the scarf!
We're just excited because in the closed captioning it says scoff.
Yeah, it's good. Because he's really the only person that gets the scoff. Other people get sigh. Right, yeah. There's very few other people that get scoffs. Aw. And he's just such a good dad. I love that they didn't... So they had that whole, like, drinking tangent for a while that I think that they were going to go down.
It'll come back.
Okay, I just hope that they don't. Because I just like him as, like, a genuine person. I like that he's not getting... really compromised by this. Like, he's not getting kicked off the force or anything. Like, he's actually very good. Look at that face when he's like, let's eat. Oh, he smiles. We never get to see him smile, and it was just such a nice moment.
I think it's because he's so close. He thinks he's close to catching one of the archers.
Right, yeah, fair enough.
Like, I can't nail Oliver, but I'm gonna get this other guy. Just know it.
Yeah. I love Felicity and Diggle's relationship. It's so good.
They have some really great moments in this episode.
They do, yeah. So they're going to break in. I love that there's a lot that happens in this episode.
Yeah.
They're going to break into... where are they breaking in? Merlin Global, whatchamacallit? Global Group's main headquarters on the 25th floor. I thought that they were going to go in as Arrow. Like, I thought that he was going to break in through the roof or something.
Yeah,
like
he was going to, like, zip line from one building to another.
Yeah.
But I guess he's already done that.
Yeah, so. I guess it kind of works better the way that they're doing it, or the way that they did it in this episode, because it was cool and kind of coordinated and awesome, and you get a little bit of, I don't know, Scooby gang feel to it for those Buffy.
I think the biggest surprise of this show, because we've been sort of talking about it tonight, I think the biggest surprise... is just how much of an ensemble show this is.
Yeah.
Because I was really expecting it to be sort of him on his own, being a superhero. And it was going to be kind of like a villain of the week, and he was just going to go and beat this guy up and beat that guy up. And it was just going to be that sort of thing, kind of like the first season of Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very different. I mean, like, they come up with this whole complex plan.
Yeah, it's great. And I love Felicity's really good. You were saying this when we watched it, that she's very good at being undercover.
Yeah.
It's great. She's really gotten into the groove.
She's got a career in Vice if she ever wants it.
It's awesome.
So she shows up with the big belly burger, which means that they, because she's got the uniform going on there, which means that there's some form of collusion from from Diggle's
whatever person.
Sister-in-law, yeah. Girlfriend.
And so here's where, this is a great exchange in the elevator. Again, it's just they add really cute things that they don't need to, right? This guy just being in the elevator, it's just such an awesome.
I just love how he does it with no kind of remorse or anything. Like, there's not, like, he doesn't do it with any sort of, like, ha-ha, I got that guy.
Yeah, no,
he just... any sort of, like, oh, I feel bad for him. It's just, like, it had to happen.
And did you see his look, the look that he gave Felicity afterwards, too? It's kind of, it's cute. They're cute. I love them together. But she's wearing yellow and red, so... Yes.
She's dressed very much in the manner that we would expect Mia to be dressed in if she was Speedy. It's just sort of... It's in this moment coming up that sort of he pulls her up and they're sort of side by side on a mission. Yeah. And I looked at it and I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Like it's intentional.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's very intentional that those are the colors that she's ended up in. She is his Speedy right now.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. Like, I think that she's serving the purpose very well. I think she's doing exactly what she should be doing.
Because Diggle's kind of the Alfred that can kick butt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's kind of his assistant.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she's really more of the sidekick. Mm-hmm. I love it. They kind of have sort of a Star Wars moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
Ugh. And we both thought that was going to be much more epic.
Yeah, than that they were.
I thought they were going to, like, zip.
Yeah, I thought they had to go. Yeah, do very cool things. But you know, I guess this is. And then I feel like as the television has jaded me to things, because I was like, I thought that it would be much harder to break in here. And then Mike was like, you know, that they just sort of swung across an elevator shaft.
24 stories.
Oh, okay, sure, fair enough. And Felicity's going to barf.
I like awesome. The. This is my about to hack face. You know, this is how I look right before I hack.
Back in 9? Like, in 9 minutes?
I suppose so.
Very specific. Yeah, back in 9 minutes. Oh, I guess... Oh, yeah, no, because there's... I guess they are on a very specific schedule with the security rotating. So, again... But I just thought it would be harder for them to break in here. Well, I guess there's security. Is this Tommy's... Dad's place where the arrow costume is behind, or the Dark Archer costume is behind one of those doors, too?
I think so.
It's sort of like the main area.
I think so.
Okay. Cool. And see, she, with the Microsoft Surface, makes sense.
Yeah, except that, like, no self-respecting hacker, quote-unquote, would be using a Microsoft Surface.
Well, maybe she's redefining what it means to be a hacker with Microsoft Surface helping her.
That's not really... It's not an issue of, like the scene. It's an issue of usability. The Microsoft Surface...
You just need
to download stuff. Not so much. Not so much. You couldn't do it with an iPad either. You need an actual computer.
Oh, anyways. So I kind of like this... between the two of them, and unfortunately, I hate to admit it, but you're getting Dark Tommy, and I really don't want him to become
Dark Tommy. He's even got scruff.
But he does, and he's clearly, like, unreasonably angry at him, and you just, he's obviously turning into a bad guy. And obviously, with the end of this, Merlin Sr. cannot be around for much longer. Yeah. He just can't. So, obviously, it just, ugh.
And Junior has moved right into place. But you know what? I will give them props on doing it in a timely fashion rather than taking so long for Lex to become evil in Smallville.
Yeah, that's
that true. By the time that Lex does become evil, he's kind of gone at that point, right?
Yeah, yeah. So Diggle here seeing... I just love that Felicity just doesn't do anything. She's just, I'm just going to keep downloading stuff. And the worst possible circumstances that Oliver could come across. Yeah. Again, you're right. This idea of an ensemble feel that when stuff goes down, we don't actually need Ollie to come to the rescue because they are innovative enough and they're trained enough or to know what to do and how to take care of themselves, which is really kind of cool. And this idea, I think that we're really getting... They're the reason that Ollie's going to become a superhero instead of just being a vigilante, because he's realizing that there's people around him that can help support him, and that they're really this cool team, and it's not just about taking out this black book, but about making the city better. And yeah. you get that, I think, in the there's a the trailer for next week. There was something about the idea that the city needs someone to save them. But so this idea of how does the city need to be saved? Well, it needs a hero, and he could be that hero, which is cool.
Totally. And, I think we're moving that direction, and I really hope that we're moving in a direction for him to become Green Arrow.
Yeah. Well, and it sets it up to the fact that Tommy thinks he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And that you that we're putting that Tommy thinks that the Green Arrow is a serial killer, but if he thinks that he's a hero, it's this really interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So Felicity getting caught here, really, I don't know what she expected to do when she got out of the, I don't know, was she just gonna run?
I think she was just going to get back to the elevator as quickly as possible.
Oh, okay.
But Oliver being stuck with Malcolm, and in a totally, like, non-malicious, like, for a second I thought that Malcolm was might the, know that something was up.
Yeah.
But there was, I think, very genuine concern of, like, well, I hope that you and Tommy do work things out. Like, he doesn't realize how, because he doesn't know the secret yet, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I thought that he did in previous episodes, by the end of this episode, we know that he did not know that Oliver is the vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
But this moment, oh man, Diggle comes to the rescue, and just so great. She just goes with it. And then they just laugh about it. It's like she almost got in serious trouble there.
Yeah.
But like, it's at this point, they've been doing this for a little bit now, and it's kind of like, oh, we're fine.
Awesome. And so he gets to have this, so Ollie gets to have this genuine moment with Thea, where she actually tells him the truth, which is kind of cool. I kind of like that, that it's not, again, we're not skirting around this issue. And we almost, we were shouting at the screen, I think, at this point. We were like, he's right there! Just meet each other! Meet each other!
Just get to it.
And so then there he is. Which is kind of cool.
He's wearing that red hood again.
He needs a new sweater. Oh. Whoa, look at that. That was forceful.
I thought that because he helps him up at some point.
Yeah, that he was going to get it, that he was going to know it was him. Yes. Yeah, I thought that the handshake was going to give it away. But I don't think it did, which is unfortunate. I thought it was going to give it away. So, I still think that Roy is in the position to start to connect the dots. So, I hope that that happens. That maybe he'll start thinking about how Ollie was there at the building and I don't know. And what are these pieces of paper that he's doing?
His notes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there, it's all of his contacts, so he's going to call somebody to get some vertigo.
Right. Okay.
These two come up with the worst plans. Like, let's just go to Merlin Global, and the vigilante will just be there. In the middle of the day? I don't think so. I'll just go buy some drugs. The vigilante doesn't like drugs. Do you know what he does to the people that he finds with vertigo? He shoots them with arrows, okay? This is not a good plan.
So here we have that he's letting on to Thea that he lost somebody, right? So we're trying to figure out. So we don't know who it is that he's lost, right? He's talked about his mom a little bit, right? Does he live with his mom? Or is it really, it could be anybody we haven't figured out yet?
Yeah, we don't really know.
Yeah.
Because we've never seen anybody else, right?
True.
So we have no.
And this is cold. Like, look, the better now than later. That was the Thea was really hurt. You could see, her face was really good.
That was the OC moment.
It was, yeah. That was the very OC. Do you think that he intentionally pushed her away because he has a feeling that it might be Ollie? No.
No, I think that he just pushed her away because he doesn't know how to deal with anger and when you know he's kind of been on his own, so he doesn't really.
That's
he's not good at relating to people.
True.
I don't think.
Yeah. And so here, Walter, coming back with, you know, some chutzpah here to not be one to just get kidnapped and not do anything about it.
Yeah.
I love that he didn't just forget, right?
Yeah.
This whole thing that he knows that she lied to him and it's not going to go back to normal just because he was captured. So I really like Walter. I'm glad he didn't die. It would be different. I didn't expect him to be brought back, but here he is.
But I think that this is also kind of his exit from the show.
Right, the ability.
Right, because he hands her divorce papers and he says goodbye to Thea, and I think that that's going to be kind of it, right?
Yeah. It's kind of nice, so, but why would they, what, it seems like a missed opportunity to use this character really well. Just let him go?
Well, I think that they have used him really well.
Okay, fair enough. But, I mean, it's, I guess the emotional heartstring is the that he's choosing to leave as opposed to him dying or something like that, right, I guess? Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, I think it's the position that it puts her in.
Yeah.
That it puts Moira in.
Yeah, and Moira seems genuinely upset here, as opposed to with Oliver. I think she's actually genuinely upset here, as yeah. opposed to all that stuff when she was talking about... I don't know. And I love that they have the same tech guy here in the, whatever, the officer thing.
Yeah, precinct.
Yeah, in the precinct. So it's kind of cool that he has discovered Felicity hacking, which I think is really cool. I just think, I don't know, I think that there will be something between Felicity and Detective Lance, and they'll have some sort of, that's my prediction.
Well, I think we're definitely going to see an interaction between the two of them next episode.
Yeah.
I think that her voiceover might
be
she's being questioned. In the preview for next week, I think that voiceover might be her being questioned by Detective Lance.
What is it? So a Trojan is just, they put in a...
It's just a virus.
Spying. They're fine. Yeah, okay. Yeah. What did we... Oh, yeah, you Googled this teraflop. We're like, what's a teraflop?
Yeah, it's going to take a while to go through the teraflops. A terabyte is a,
the amount,
I think, like 100 gigs or something like that.
Yeah.
A teraflop... A flop is a process. It's like... Mm-hmm. Floating something, it's processes. It's
maybe
it's different.
Maybe that's what
different
she's doing,
things running at once. Yeah. Like it's having multiple things running at once. So it's the ability for a processor to do multiple tasks. So she's not really running. Like you don't need time for it to run through flop. So you,
right?
It's a different concept. It's not data. It's measuring how much processing power you have.
So here's when Ollie realizes that he can be with Laurel because he doesn't understand that he's on a television show where he is a superhero.
He's new to the hero game, so he doesn't understand. Superman hasn't given him the speech yet of the never-ending battle, which is Superman's thing. Right?
Yeah.
Is that no matter how much good you do, there's always evil in the world.
Yeah.
And there will always be a need for heroes.
Yeah.
So as much as he thinks... The mission that his father gave him was to stop the Undertaking. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously this season that has been the main driving force behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to discover once he deals with that, that first of all, he's opened a can of worms by showing up in a costume and taking guys out in the fashion that he has.
Yeah.
Much in the same way that Batman does with the Joker in the Dark Knight movies. And that regardless of whether or not he takes out this huge plan, there's always going to be another bad guy to stop. Deadshot's still out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's guys like Fires all over the place, right? Like,
well, so this is what I think that they're giving us this in the penultimate episode, because it's not going to happen again for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Because I actually think that he's not going to... by the way, this song, I really love this song. It's awesome. I keep trying to figure out what other show I just heard it on. But anyways, we haven't had one of these like sort of musical sexual interludes in a while.
Which Smallville was so well known for.
Yeah.
Smallville, I feel like Smallville was the show that really defined that. Like other shows have also done it.
But
I feel like Smallville was the one that went like, and now it's the end of the episode, so here's... I thought the episode was done here because of the music queuing up.
Yeah, and turning dark. Sad.
If he were Sith, like if he were a Jedi, his eyes literally would have turned red there. He would have become a Sith Lord.
Yeah,
and he would have gotten a red lightsaber and all of that would have happened. Because that is the moment. He's now a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, let's not beat around the bush.
Yeah,
Tommy's a bad guy.
So anyways, I think that Ollie is not going to save the Glades. I think the Glades will get destroyed, but as, again, I guess, well, I don't want to spoil it too much about what we've seen from the trailer for next week.
Well, I think the Glades is going to destroy itself.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then it will need a hero to fix it, and I think that he's going to realize that he can't be with Laurel as much as he wants to, because he's not just doing the Undertaking, he's wanting to save the city itself, which is, so the phone ring, he is really banged up. God, I love the makeup on him. So great. Laurel and Ollie That's a thing that happened.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
And I was right.
Yeah.
Told fine. You so.
Yeah, whatever.
It's poor on Tommy. Record. Poor it's Tommy. On record. So it's like, it's the best kind of told you so, where we have a captive audience that will back me up that I totally told you so.
Whatever, it's fine. Get over it.
But I don't think anybody could have told us so on this one. This Nobody is saw insane. What was coming here.
This is insane. I can't believe that this. Oh.
So Yao Fei's giving his. He's taking responsibility for shooting down Ferris flight. What was it? 637?
Something like that, yeah.
Because he's sort of, they've sort of. That's why they've kept him around, was to set him up for this.
Yeah.
But once he's outlived his usefulness.
Yeah. He just.
Just done. Full on.
Like, I had the same reaction as Oliver. I yelled. We flipped out.
Ridiculous. And even now, knowing that it was coming, knowing that it was going to happen, I'm still getting chills from it. Like,
it's crazy.
The hairs are standing up on my arm.
But you know what's going to... That was intense. You know what's going to suck? When they don't actually shoot down the airplane, and then Yao Fei's gone, and his whole plan is thwarted.
Yeah.
So, that's a thing that I'm just going to put out there. That maybe, maybe that's... could happen next week. But yeah, that was insane. I've never... What, you were likening this to another thing that people should watch over the summer, Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yes. If you haven't watched it, watch it.
Because that's about one of the only other times where I've ever been watching a show and kind of just yelled at the television for doing something.
If only that show had been on the CW, it'd still be on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank goodness for the CW. Being a real play, like, home for genre TV and really giving it a place to... To live.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is great.
Nice long runs of shows. I mean, Supernatural going into its ninth season.
Something like that. That's crazy.
Like, it's unbelievable. And so we've got years and years to go with this one.
Yeah.
And
it's
with
be so
Arrow.
Good.
And this is so great because we've got this moment between Oliver and Malcolm, and he's facing him down with the arrow, and Diggle is supposed to be finding the device, but the device is gone, and Merlin's five steps ahead of them already.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And we're going to find out that he's actually 10 steps ahead.
Yeah.
Of everybody ever.
Oh.
As he catches the arrow. And I mean, it's not the first time that somebody's caught an arrow on this show.
No.
But
it's, yeah.
It was way more hardcore. Yeah. Than when Huntress did it. Because when Huntress did it, she caught it and she was like, I can't believe I just caught that arrow.
Yeah.
But for Malcolm, it was like, I'm not even breaking a sweat. Like, yes, guess who I am.
Right? Yeah.
Because it's his reveal of I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then they have this awesome throwdown, this great fight. And Malcolm, once again, just like last time.
Is just destroying.
Yeah, he
poor Bo.
Yeah, he takes out the bow and he just dominates Oliver.
He is obviously like the better, and this is what got him last time, the kicking in the back, right?
Yeah, that's right, really... back to the same thing. And then he takes the hood off.
And this is the moment that Merlin died. Because there's just no way that you cannot.
Yeah, he just signed his death certificate.
He just signed his death certificate, but that was good. And I love now. So what is the reaction here? This look at the DC Comics logo with that. Has it always been like that?
Yeah.
Oh. Cool.
One of our clever, hardworking listeners pointed out what cover that's from.
Oh,
it's on our Facebook group. So
cool. So when Merlin's genuine response to finding out
was oh no,
right? So what is that about, right? Because it makes him into a hole with Moira or something, or
I think because it causes issues with Moira,
right.
And then I think it also causes issues with Tommy. So I think
right.
I think it's just this is Oliver. This is right. Oliver Queen.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That like I was yeah. right the first time.
Yeah.
But now, like this is a problem now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, it's very interesting because before he tried to have him killed.
Yeah.
If everybody remembers back to just before Christmas, he tried to have Oliver killed. Actually, that was a long time ago. That was like October, November.
When did he try to have Oliver killed?
When they suspected that Oliver, right after he got arrested for being.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. That was like in one of the first few episodes.
That was in like the fourth or fifth
episode.
Crazy. Yeah. That was like a couple episodes after we found out that John Barrowman was on the show.
Oh, right, like, yeah,
after
yeah.
the character was introduced.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of this turnabout, mm-hmm. but it's interesting. I think it's because he's got plans for Oliver
right.
and for Tommy. Oh, okay. And yeah. I think that this now, like, finding out that Oliver is the vigilante messes up those plans.
Right. Right, yeah.
Because one of the great things about an awesome villain is that an awesome villain thinks that they are the good guy.
Right,
And as we learned last week, Malcolm thinks that he's the good guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, in all of his actions, he feels justified. Mm-hmm. And he knows that he's doing wrong things, but Oliver's doing the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
in
a truly objective point of view, I mean, we know Oliver is the main character. We know that he's the hero. We know who he's going to become. So we have all of these preconceived notions about, well, yeah, okay, so he's killing guys, but they're bad guys, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Whereas Malcolm is killing innocent people, so it's a little bit less gray.
Bit, yeah.
Right? It's
yeah.
more cut and dry. But at the end of the day, they're both just murdering people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, it's just such a great show because it's just using the archetypes so well,
mm-hmm.
but also sort of subverting a lot of them and doing it in a way that there is no other show on TV for me that feels less contrived than this show. When characters make decisions, when plots unfold the way that they do on Arrow, it feels natural.
Yeah.
It happens because yeah. it happens. Like,
yeah.
they set up dominoes 5 episodes ago that they knocked down now.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
we saw it get set up. And so when we see the payoff, it makes sense in a way that I can't really think of a lot of other TV shows that managed to do it in such a great way.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of other shows that definitely had, like, correlations between, you know, like, this happened in one episode and then this happened in another. I mean, like, Lost had a lot of connections back mm-hmm. and forth. But I think that a lot of those were contrived.
That's the word you're looking for.
That you get into season 5 and you're like, well, okay, so let's tell this story. And in that, let's set up this thing that refers back to season 2. And mm-hmm. now we finally have an answer for why that was the way it was. Or right. Sarah Connor Chronicles, which was a great show, but the 3 dots meant nothing.
Right,
and there
right.
was no payoff to that. And they tried to connect it and go, oh, but yeah, look back at this episode and the 3 dots. And it's like, but it really, it went nowhere and it had no
right.
real connection to anything. But with this show, every time they make a point of something, like, write it down in a notebook because
yeah.
it's coming back.
Yeah.
So, like, just, I mean, if Ferris Air getting a shout out, Ted Kord getting a shout out
yeah.
last week.
Yeah.
Those are not coincidences, and I think that we are going to see payoffs
mm-hmm.
to that establishment, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's Blue Beetle and Green Lantern showing up on the show, I don't know if that's going to be the payoff.
But it'll be something.
But there yeah. will be, there's going to be a consequence.
Yeah,
to that reference, mm-hmm. just even to those small things. And I think that that's one of the things that they're doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a lot like the Marvel movies have done with their franchise of Iron Man, Captain America, Avengers, Thor,
yeah.
and all that. But in that, again, people complain about it because sometimes it feels very contrived when you
yeah.
have Nick Fury just show up or the character of Agent Coulson be the thread that connects everybody.
Yeah.
It's obvious. It's very heavy-handed. But on this show, it just, like, everything that got Malcolm and Oliver to that reveal at the end of this episode, it just all felt real. Like,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
there's so much going on, but it's all so well thought out.
Yeah. Ugh. So good.
They should not have aired these episodes on separate nights.
No.
I stand by it. And when we eventually get to interview the showrunners or somebody or a
yeah.
writer or somebody, I have to ask the question, was the season 1 finale meant to be a 2-hour finale? Because that was
yeah.
not the end of an episode. Like,
no,
it definitely came to a crescendo by moving into the second half of something.
Yeah.
Because
Everything's going to get wrapped up next episode. Oh, man.
I don't want to wait a week.
I know. This is the thing that sort of sucks about recording on the day that it airs, because now it's just done, and I can't... Oh, man.
Well, it's going to be even longer until you guys hear from us, because we're planning... we're planning something special for the season finale. So you want to...
Yeah. So we won't... We probably won't release the podcast the same. We're not going to podcast on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
We're going to watch it. And then on Saturday, I think.
And then on Saturday...
Yeah.
It's tentative right now, but Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Pacific Standard. So 10 a.m. PST. We are going to do a Google Hangout.
Awesome.
And so you guys will be able, we'll stream that on YouTube, so you guys will be able to watch live. There will be a video component, but there will also be interaction. So for those of you that can make it, and you know, as we get closer next week, by next Wednesday we'll have it firmed up, and we'll know exactly when we're going to be recording, or not recording, but broadcasting. Then you guys can jump on Twitter, and we will we'll hashtag, and we'll you can comment on the Facebook page and on the group and everything, and we'll get some conversation going, so you guys can actually actively participate in the season finale with us.
So it'll be good. So we'll do it. We'll do, hopefully. So we'll do similar. We'll do a watch through. So everybody, instead of your Saturday morning cartoons, cancel them, and we're gonna.
Well, don't cancel them.
TiVo them and watch them later, and we will watch Arrow again all together.
Yes.
And it'll be pretty awesome and have an awesome conversation. So that's what we're hoping.
Totally.
The season finale, which looks awesome by the looks of this trailer.
Yes.
Because we've watched it about 6 times.
Yeah, we watched the trailer. We repeatedly watched it, trying to figure out, okay, whose voice is that? Who's that person?
Yeah.
Let's just really quickly go over it one time.
We will.
Oliver chained up by Malcolm. Somebody discovering the device.
And they're all fleeing.
A riot going on in the Glades. Oliver looking like he was on a motorcycle.
Somebody kissing
Tommy
Laurel.
Discovering the Dark Archer gear, and then the Dark Archer and Green Arrow
having a showdown,
facing off. And then Castiel getting shot in the stomach, because it goes right into Supernatural.
I need to watch Supernatural.
Which is really, like, it worked. I mean, good job, CW. I just give you a little slow clap, because it works. Now I'm a week behind on Supernatural. I'm gonna watch both episodes tomorrow.
Because
I'm like, oh man, I gotta get caught up on Supernatural. But more importantly, season finale next week.
Gonna be epic.
It's gonna be crazy.
I can't. Hashtag for justice. What?
And hashtag quiver.
Oh, hashtag quiver.
Along with your hashtag for justice.
Right.
And don't forget to tweet at Ameliewood, tell him that he needs to come on.
Yes.
And if he's free next Saturday,
Google Hangout.
We'd love to do a Google Hangout with him, and he can watch along with us. And we're killing ourselves on that one, but would be nice. Maybe in future seasons,
we'll pretend somebody. Yeah. We'll pretend that he's watching it with us.
Yeah,
that'll be good.
But if you want your chance to win a copy of the Arrow trade paperback when that eventually comes out, then tweet at Ameliewood and tell him to come on at Quiver Podcast.
Yeah,
and
I've also been pushing for tweeting at Paul Blackthorne, because I would.
Well,
he's a close second for me to be able to interview. That'd be awesome.
Totally. But
I can't wait. Can it be next week? Time travel, this would be handy.
Well, if people just wait to listen to this until next week, then it will already be next week. For some people, next week was a very long time ago.
Wow, we're talking to the future.
Yeah. Ooh. You're not thinking fourth dimension.
I know, sorry.
Yeah. But that about does it for us this week.
Yes.
In this temporal zone. So you can follow us on Twitter, as we said, at Quiver Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can also follow us individually. I am at Arkwulf, ARKWULF.
And I'm at A Konkin, AKONKIN. We like to have conversations there with you for interactions and stuff. And you can also send us email. We apologize, we did record very fast this week, so that's why we read fast email, but email us mail@quiverpodcast.com. Yeah. And because next week we will be recording later, so you can email after the episode's done, and hopefully we'll talk to a few of you in person. Well, maybe we'll talk to you in real time.
Yeah,
instead of emails. Yeah, just be there. And on our Facebook page, obviously go to facebook.com/quiverpodcast.
Yes.
And you can find the link to our Facebook group there, which is great and steadily growing, which is awesome, and awesome conversations happening there. So that's exciting. Yay.
Did you say quiverpodcast.com? Did we say that?
No.
Okay, well, quiverpodcast.com, which is our website. And soon in the future, we brought on Eamon, and he is our news guy.
Yay.
So we're just sort of ironing the kinks out. You guys might have noticed a news post that got posted on Facebook but didn't have the link. So we're just ironing kinks out. But hopefully over the summer, we will have news going up on the website.
Yay.
So that will be your number one source for all Arrow and Green Arrow news.
All things Arrow.
Yeah, all things Green Arrow. Because, you know, comic news and all that sort of stuff, too. That does it for us.
Yeah.
So we'll catch you guys next week.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads.
He was important to this story.
That's true. But, like, wow. It was crazy. Cry, cry! Are you still friends with Arturo? What's it called?
Darkness on the Edge of Town.
You look very pensive.
Oh, just waiting.
Okay. I gotta turn my phone off.
I'll read the email.
Cool.
Just do the intro.
Mm-hmm. Is it recording?
Yep. I can show you.
Thank you.
Proof.
Thank you.
2 minutes and 36 seconds.
With them.
We're just gonna get right to it this week. There's nothing exciting.
We are, because I need to sleep.
Let me just double check this. Okay, we're good to go.
Darkness on the Edge of Town?
I believe so.
23rd episode?
22nd episode.
Darkness on the Edge of Town, 22nd episode. What?
There was no Iron Man 3.
What? It was,
it was good, but it was no Iron Man 3.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm going to go watch it eventually. Okay. Hey, maybe if we're done recording early, I can go watch Iron Man 3. That's what I should do.
Just by yourself?
No, I'm sure I can get someone to come with me. I don't like going to movies by myself.
Good, because only losers go to movies by themselves.
Hey! Yeah, that's true. No, but I feel like, if of anything, I should be able to go to a movie by myself, but I just can't. I feel like it's a social thing. Anyways, okay. Let's record. 23rd episode. 23rd?
22nd episode. Darkness on you do even episodes. It would never be the 23rd episode.
Sorry. So, okay. Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. Is that right?
It is whatever you want it to be.
Sorry, let's try one more time. Welcome back to Quiver
the Green Arrow,
podcast. Sorry. I'm so hungover. okay.